Leviticus, chapter 20. Leviticus chapter 20, we are talking about why we are conservative. I think this will be the second to the last message that we'll preach on this. Probably preach one more. Why are we conservative? And tonight we're preaching because the Lord is holy. Because the Lord is holy. Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 6. And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards and go a whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul. And by the way, you shouldn't be dealing with any kind of witchcraft. You shouldn't be dealing with anything to do with it. The Bible calls it familiar spirits. It means you are dealing with spirits who you get to know. And they're wicked and ungodly spirits, and that's horoscope, and that's tarot cards, and that's anything that seances. It's anything to do with the occult, anything to do with witchcraft, anything to do with all that stuff. You shouldn't mess with it. I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be holy. Be ye holy, for I, the Lord, am holy. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and set yourselves apart. So I want this guy out of your crowd because I want you set apart. And be ye holy, for I, the Lord, for I am the Lord your God. And ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you. And tonight I want to talk about we're conservative because the Lord is holy. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that we would understand your word and why we, in a society that isn't careful and conservative spiritually, we are. Where churches aren't, where Christians are careless, we believe, Father. We want to teach why we believe that you want us to be conservative or careful in our lives. And I pray you, Lord, you'd help us to do so. I pray you'd help us to see you as you are a little bit tonight, Father. It's very hard in our flesh to see through that glass clearly, but I pray tonight we'd see it so we'd know what your wishes are and how we can fellowship with you truly and properly. Please give us ears to hear and speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. It says, be ye holy, for I, the Lord, am holy. And so if I'm holy, I want you to be holy with me and to be that with me. Now, somebody will say, well, that's Old Testament. And that's what Christians say sometimes. Oh, that's Old Testament. That's Leviticus. We're not under the law anymore. Okay, let's say that's true. By the way, whenever the Bible says a character of God, what he is, that will never change. Amen. Something he says, he might tell you to do something. He might tell you to sacrifice a lamb. That might change, but that he wants a lamb sacrifice will never change. Who God is never changes. And he just had one final sacrifice of a lamb, which is Jesus. But who God is never changes. The Old Testament says, I, the Lord, am this. The Bible also says, I am the Lord, I change not. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's character will never change. And he says, if he says, I want you holy because I'm holy, that's never going to change. But just to prove it with the New Testament, we can go lots of places. But let's go to 1 Peter. Way in the New Testament, and 1 Peter. And chapter 1, in verse 15. 1 Peter 1, 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So it says, as the same way as God is holy who called you, you're supposed to be holy in the same manner of conversation. Because why? Be ye holy, for I am holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy, he says there. And let's just go to this New Testament as we can get to the book of Revelation. So we can see Peter said it, and we could turn to Paul saying it, we can turn to Jesus saying it. But because of time, we got a lot of verses. Let's do Revelation 20. 1, verse 2, heaven is holy. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. Revelation 22, last chapter in the Bible, verse 11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He which is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he which is holy, let him be holy still. So holiness is all throughout the Bible, and we could turn, and we will, all throughout the Bible, holiness. God says, be holy because I'm holy and I want you to be holy. Holy in the Bible means set apart and clean. It can mean ceremonial clean. It can mean But it's when you take something apart and you set it aside as a clean thing. The simplest way for me to explain it in our modern vernacular, to a Jew in the Old Testament, certainly it's very clear. You're clean and unclean, holy and unholy. They're equal. But in if I can explain it to you, you have dirty dishes and you have clean dishes. And the dirty dishes are what you'd call holy. Okay? Because they're set aside, they're separate from the dirty dishes, and they're clean. When the Bible says holy, you are set aside from the uncleanness, and you are clean in order to use your the process of cleaning is finished up. And so now you are ready to be used. When I was at we had a teen activity this week and went to camp with another few churches, and it was a good time and good preaching and everything else, but they also had some athletic contests, and so I went dressed in a button-up, kind of a half-work, half-dress shirt, and I had a pair of jeans on and some kind of hiking boots things to start off with because it was pretty muddy, and they said you'll be doing some activities, so I went in that, but I kind of dressed a little bit like I wasn't in grungies either. I was dressed with, you know, at least a button-up shirt and stuff, and well, they went out there, and they said, okay, we're going to go play a football game. And I said, oh, man, I better not do that. But I brought a change of clothes. And Brother Cox went out there, and he started playing. I said, man. And Brother Roman is there. And he said, hey, Brother Cox is out there. I guess the pastors need to play to participate. So let's go out there. And so out we went to the football game. And I said, okay. Now the field, in the area, the rivers are flooding. It was right in the foothills. And it was buckets, man. It was wet. It was sticky shoe, muddy out there. It was bad. By the time we're done, the green field was now brown. We just tore the grass all up. It was bad. But I said, you know what? I don't really want to change again. You know, I can do the rest of the activities like this. I want to keep from changing. So I will try not to get muddy. And it was flag. It wasn't tackle. Or it was two-handed touch, so it wasn't tackle. So I went out there. And I wasn't planting too hard. I wasn't cutting too hard. And I was running around. And, you know, my shoe boots were getting a little bit muddy, but not too bad. And I kind of stayed away from where the puddles and the gooey stuff was. I was the outside wide receiver. And I kind of stood on the outside. And I was doing fine. Then all of a sudden, I'm running. And Brother Roman White was covering me. If you know him, he's a goofball. And he really is. And I'm running toward him, and I'm pretty happy with myself how clean I was. I'm running toward him, and he's covering me. Right when I get to him, I realize he's got a handful of mud. He just goes, right on my shirt. I mean, just a handful. Just whacks me right in the chest. I stopped there. I said, you dirtball, man. That's coming back to you. Later we were, he took a fall too. And eventually, you can guess what happened. I went to block somebody. My feet went out from under me, and which flat on my back, right in the mud, and then I was just plain old muddy. I was just grimy, and my elbows, my hands, my feet, and I caught a pass and fell down one time. It was just a mess by the time I was done. I tried to play football and be somewhat clean, but it didn't work. Hard to play football in a muddy field and stay clean. Just as hard to do. I tried, and then I didn't. I had a terrible time because I brought a change of clothes. I was too muddy to sit in the chapel. And they had showers there and everything else. But I didn't bring a towel. I didn't bring a change of that stuff. But I wasn't head to toe. I was covered. And so I took off all my muddy clothes, my socks, my shoes. I had a change of shoes. I had a change of socks. And I put on my dress clothes. But, you know, have you ever, in a small bathroom, when you're really, really muddy, try to change into something clean? See, muddy clothes are a magnet to clean clothes. And everything you touch, because you're so muddy, everything's muddy. And every time you try to hang something, grab something, you're still muddy. And then I realize, oh, I thought I was clean. All my elbows were all muddy. And I'm sitting here trying to get these clothes on without getting them muddy. And I'm trying and trying and trying. It took forever for me to do it, to get into my new clothes, to get my elbows and the back of my neck. And somehow I kept my head out of the mud somehow, except for a few flecks on my face. And I just washed my, it took me forever in there trying to get clean and get my change. By the time I was done, I was all clean. And looked okay. Went down to the field, watched the game. Now they're playing soccer on the same field. And it was, it was a disaster. All the kids running around. I mean, it was just a disaster. Mud everywhere. I thought, I'm too close to this game. Something's going to happen. And sure enough, somebody kicks the ball right up at me. Hits me right in the pant leg. Now my pants are muddy. I couldn't stay clean. It was hard time staying clean when I was around the game. And then, of course, guess what? I cleaned up, but a lot of the pastors stayed and played soccer. So I was the only clean one around. And when everybody's muddy, and I mean, they were caked, and it became fun. They were all, you know, just making mud angels. I mean, it was muddy. Guess what really muddy people do when they see a clean person? Every single one of them thinks it's funny, and they all thought they thought of the idea to walk up and say, "Hey, how you doing?" and just stop short of me. Every single one of them, "Hey, how you doing?" And I mean, it was universal. Everybody used to me. They'd walk over to me. I know, okay, you're going to say, "How you doing?" or "You're going to hug me." And every single one of them did that because they just thought that would be funny. And they were all muddy. And how many of you did that to me? You walked up and you tried to put your hand on me. So yeah, how many went up and did that? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Act like you're getting me muddy. And you know, it's hard to get close to dirty people when you're clean and not get dirty. If you change clothes and get around a dog, the dog will climb on you. It's just what they do. Because muddy things tend to make clean things muddy. It's just the way it works. With all that in mind, the Lord demands that the holy and the unholy be separated. Back to Leviticus in chapter 10. The Lord demands that the holy and unholy get separated. Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 10. "And that ye may put difference between the holy and unholy, and between the unclean and the clean." And so, when it's referring to holy here, it's referring to the things of God which are supposed to be set apart. And when it's in this verse, it says the holy and the which is the separated and the unholy, which is a common that everybody uses. But the things of the temple that are separated, the vessels of God, they are holy and set aside. And the clean things and the things that are unclean. So it might be a set aside vessel for the church, for the temple. But if it's unclean, then it cannot be used. So it has to be set aside for God's use, and then it has to be clean. And God always wants to put a difference between the clean and unclean. He got very mad at Israel when they put no difference. They blended the two and mixed them together. In Ezekiel chapter 22, he separates the clean and the unclean, and he tells them to do that, and they don't do that. And God says, "I get very mad at that, and I'm gonna really punish this nation because they didn't do this." And Leviticus chapter 22... in verse 26, "Your priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they shown differences between the unclean and clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbath, and I am profaned among them." And at the end, verse 31, "Therefore I poured out my wrath upon them." He says, my nation has not put any difference between the clean and unclean, the holy and unholy. There is no difference, and there is no a way to tell the difference. All temple ceremony, etc., there was in the Old Testament that God was very picky about. Read the book of Leviticus and look for the words clean, common, unclean, all those things. Purified, all those words. In Leviticus and Numbers, she spends a great deal of time saying, "I want things like this and pronounce clean or pronounce unclean." And God is very big on it. And he's very big in the Old Testament, understanding that a lot of it was about the temple. But here's the problem. Here's the thing about it. Everything he was so picky about, you know what I'm talking about? When he's talking about picky he was in Leviticus and Numbers and all these things, it has to be clean, it has to be holy. Some of you are reading that in your Bible reading right now. That did not disappear. The only difference is he made your body the temple. But the demands of the purity and the cleanness and the holiness continued. And now he says, your body is now what I demand, the holiness and the purity, and for it not to be common. And he demands that. And 1 Corinthians, let me take you there. So he's going to demand this in two things. Both of these things in the New Testament are called the house of God. One is called the church, and one is called your body. And he demands the church be purified, and he demands the Christians be purified. 1 Timothy 3:16 calls the church the house of God, and I don't know how to behave yourself in the church of God, which is the house of God, the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. And then also in our bodies, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, which we're focusing a little more on tonight, verse, let me see, I got a verse here. Verse 16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Pretty clear? God says, you're my temple. If somebody went into my temple in the Old Testament and defiled it, I would kill him. And now your body is my temple. And if you make it unclean and violate it, him will God destroy. God says, I do not put up with you making my temple unclean. It's supposed to be holy. And you are my dwelling place. You are my temple. And 1 Peter chapter 2. So he's very strong on this. God is very picky about this holiness thing. And he uses very strong language about it. 1 Peter chapter 2. And verse 5, saying pretty much the same things. Ye also are lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, and holy priesthood, that's us, to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And go down to verse 9. It says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. A separated holy people, a wonderful clean people. Now, here's the problem. Holy, unholy, clear separation. Your body and the church are God's temple. He still demands great purity and holiness. Here's the problem. There is this philosophy that's leaked into Christians' mind and a church's mind that's not biblical and it's not logical either. Okay. We got clean dishes here. We got unclean dishes here. We got clean clothes here. We got dirty clothes here. So what you do is you mix them all together, and then you get and the clean dishes clean the dirty dishes, and the clean clothes clean the dirty clothes. Right? Is that the way it works? Did you notice when you mix the dirt? You know, if you have a stinky shirt and a good smelling shirt and you mix them together for a long time, you don't get two clean smelling shirts. That's right. And so when something is clean, it is not to be mixed with the unclean. You make that clean and then it can be with it. And now it's set aside as clean. But if you clean it and throw it back into the dirty laundry, it doesn't stay clean. It is to be set aside as holy. It's supposed to be like that. If you took a diseased cup or a diseased cloth and you say, I'm going to put this with a clean cloth and it's got disease on it, guess what? Whoever uses the ones that were clean are going to get diseases because it's not set aside. And so we've got to realize that all God wants, all God's demands in the Old Testament for the temple and for his tabernacle and for the holiness of God and to come into his presence literally are applied to us today to be holy and separated and clean. Yet Christians mix in their life a whole bunch of uncleanness. And Christians mix, and I'm not worried about the world. The world is not saved. I'm not worried about making the world holy. We want to get them saved and then work on, and they can be transformed. But Christians have to be holy for God to use them. The presence of God comes on the temple when this ceremony is done right and they're doing the processes right that are making it holy and usable and clean and set apart. And so in the church, when we have an unclean church, and we bring unholiness into the church on purpose in an unholy way, in an unholy program, God is not going to bless that. And it's not going to be God's will. We've got to have a separation. The Lord's prominent feature in heaven is holiness. Church is supposed to be holy. Christians are supposed to be holy. And heaven is completely holy. Bible says the Lord is of too pure of eyes to behold iniquity. God doesn't want to look at sin at all. Heaven, when people get to heaven, the first thing they notice is immediately not power. They don't notice that. That's not the first thing that's acknowledged. They don't sing about grace, grace, grace in heaven. They do not, They do not sing about love, love. love. Now, I believe there's great grace in heaven, great love in heaven, great power in heaven, many great things in heaven about God that are all features of God. Mercy is great. All these things are there in heaven. Heaven's full of these good things. Heaven is full of God's great characteristics. But the one thing, when people get to heaven, when they appear in heaven, when God takes them into heaven, and what the angels sing about all day long, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, throughout all eternity, what they sing about all day long and what the people notice immediately when they get into God's presence is holy. That's what stands out about God. It is his most prominent feature, is holiness. Yet, I don't think that's what Christians emphasize much, but that's the predominant feature of God when you see him. A couple illustrations of this is Isaiah chapter 6. In verse 3, and one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. I believe the three holies are one for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Spirit. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Then the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Do you notice the first thing that he noticed? Holy, 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 I'm not holy. It's the first thing he noticed about himself. And by the way, one of the first things when you get in God's presence, become a good Christian, is all of a sudden the old, what's wrong with this? And why can't I do this? And this is, I like doing this, and just what I like to do, and what, don't judge me. All that stuff goes away when a Christian gets in the presence of God. When you're walking with God, you're saying, boy, I wish I could be more clean for God. Instead of, well, what's wrong with this? Show me what's wrong with this. I want to do this. Who are you to judge me? Because when you get in the presence of God, Isaiah said, woe is me. John fell at his face as dead. And John was an apostle who spent time with Jesus. John literally was on an aisle as a martyr. He'd been boiled alive in oil and was writing the book of Revelation. And he said, and I'm unworthy. You might not even have attained their level of Isaiah and John, because the presence of God is so pure and so clean and so holy, it makes you notice it. I got a few new clothes for this trip and tax return time to get rid of the junk that is in bad shape and get the new stuff. And you know what? I have some white t-shirts. And I got some new white t-shirts. And you ever put your new shirts, white t-shirts, next to your old white t-shirts and realize your white t-shirts are not white t-shirts? But you know, they looked like white t-shirts when I saw them by themselves. They look white. Until I got the new white t-shirts next to them. And boy, if you go out there and say, look at me, I'm not as bad as some people, yeah, you probably look pretty clean. But when you go to God's standard and God's holiness and look at the Lord, all of a sudden your whiteness doesn't look so white. And all of a sudden your cleanness doesn't look so clean. And all of a sudden you say, I want to be more holy. Because, you know what, the Lord is holy, holy, holy. Now the verse that says this, same song being sung, Revelation 4, I'll just read it real quick. But it's a predominant thing in heaven that they notice. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 8. And the four beasts, and each of them had six wings about him, and they were all full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And we can show you people in the Bible falling down and saying, I'm unclean, and we can do all that. By the way, we got the Father, the Son, and the what spirit? The first part of that part of the Trinity is holy. And the one whose first name is holy is the one living inside of us. Holy, holy, holy. You don't make unclean clean by mixing it with clean, but you make it clean. Whether it's a church, the music. You don't mix unclean music with clean music and get clean music. You don't mix your language with unclean music. And you know what? If I talk about Jesus and cuss, it'll be good language. Because I have the good in there. No, it doesn't become good language. Matter of fact, a whole bunch of people use the name of Jesus in their conversation, and it's not good language. And so when we see the demand and the thing that stands out, why are we conservative? Because we're in a dirty world. Here's why. Because I'm in an outfit, and this outfit, I'm getting ready, and I'm in a tuxedo, and I'm in perfect white, clean tuxedo, and I'm getting ready to go to a wedding that's very, very, very important. And there's a football game going on in there. So what am I going to do? Am I going to stand in the middle and watch people run around me? Well, I'm not going to go and play in the game. How about if you do like me? I'm going to run around but trying to get muddy. Or simply say, well, let's stand here in the middle of the field. You're going to get muddy. I wouldn't even stand close to the field. Because that little bit of mud is hard to get off, and that little bit of mud looks very bad, and it doesn't fit. And we are conservative because unholiness is this world. It's flinging mud everywhere. And we want to step out over here and not be edgy and not be worldly and not be close on things, just language. There is a way to talk where there's no question your speech is good, holy, clean speech. And then, you know, you'll go to a Christian school and you will hang around those kids and they aren't saying actual cuss words, but they sure are talking dirty. Sometimes. I'm not saying all Christian schools are like that. Sometimes you can be right on the edge. But we choose to be conservative because God says, I demand you be holy more than you be hip. I demand you be holy, and I am holy, and I demand be ye holy, for I am holy. I am clean. Don't jump on me as a dirty dog. God says, I am clean, and so we are going to, as a church, and we are going to, as individuals, say, holiness is so vital. In a very dirty world, we're going to put a standard above, and we're going to be cautious and careful and holy, because if God is anything, he's holy, and he demands holiness, and we are God's temple. Don't mess around in there. We are conservative because God is so prominently holy, and is such a predominantly holy God. So we have an activity. And the church has an activity. You know, when you go on an activity, we don't go to the lowest standard. We raise the standards. You can't just dress the way you want and talk the way you want to talk. Why? Because there's nothing wrong with lifting people up to a little more holiness. So are these clothes holy or unholy? You know what we're going to do? We're going to err on the side of cleanness. Because we know clean's good. And if it's bad, or if it's close to bad, God is so holy, we don't want to be close to unholy. Okay? We aren't looking to see what we can get away with in mud. We're looking to stay clean and right with God. Now, I just want to read a bunch of verses. Those are my points right there. I'm going to read a bunch of verses on holiness. It's certainly not exhaustive, but these are just miscellaneous verses on what God says about holiness. We're just going to go through them and let you see. I'm going to start towards the start of the Bible, and then I'll just go through. I'm going to go forward all the way through, and I'm not going to make any points on these necessarily. There's two verses that I think are really powerful, but I just want to get you into the mood of holiness, the mood of purity, the mood of, should I watch that? Should I watch that on TV? Should I take a look at this thing? What am I going to think it's going to be clean and righteous and holy? Is it questionable? Is it something that if it was played in heaven with I'll go, whoa, be ye holy? Exodus chapter 15, verse 11. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among other gods? Who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness? Fearful in praises, doing wonders. God's called glory. Glorious in his holiness. His holiness is just dynamic and beautiful and glorious. And 1 Chronicles. Chapter 16. If you're with me, say amen. All right, good. I'm going to just be reading a bunch of verses here. I'm going to get a few people to turn to a few verses here and come up there and read them. Brian, can you turn to Psalms chapter 30 and verse 4? Matthew, can you turn to Psalms 93 and verse 5? And then, Brian, come on up here first. I'm going to read 1 Chronicles 16, verse 29. Give unto the Lord the glory, do his name, bring an offering, and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. So the Bible says you should worship God in the beauty of holiness. All right? Brian, Psalms chapter 30 and verse 4.
Sing unto the Lord, O you saints of his, and give thanks at remembrance of his holiness.
Okay, we're supposed to remember God's holiness and give thanks and remember that God is a holy God, a clean God. Matthew, come on up here.
Okay. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever.
Okay. Holiness becometh. It's fitting. It matches God's house. Holiness becomes God's house. It fits in into God's house. Let me take you to the New Testament. New Testament. And 2 Corinthians chapter 7. All right, Brian, let's have you turn to Ephesians 4:24. And Matthew, why don't you turn to Titus 2:3. I'm going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Therefore, having these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness in the flesh and spirit. Listen to this. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That's what Christians are supposed to do. Did you hear that phrase? Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Wow. Perfecting holiness. All right, Brian, come on up here. And we have Ephesians 4:24. Ephesians 4:24.
And that you put on the new man, which is after God, is created in righteousness and true holiness.
Okay? So we as Christians, when God saved us, we are created into righteousness and true holiness. Okay, Matthew, come on up here.
Titus 2:3, right?
I believe so.
The aged woman likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things.
So women should do things that become holiness, and they should be doing that. I'm going to be Hebrews chapter 12. So I'm just giving you what the Bible, just kind of a thought and kind of getting the tenor and the idea of how God talks about this holiness in the Christian life. And why we are conservative, because we are erring on the side of holiness and always trying to be a little more holy instead of a little more worldly and a little more immoral and a little more dirty. Hebrews chapter 10 and chapter 12, I'm sorry, and verse 10. And it says, "For verily for a few days our fathers chastised us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness." So here the Bible says you and I are supposed to be partakers of the holiness of God.
Amen.
They are partakers of the holiness of God. The famous Romans chapter 12, verse 1. The Bible says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Your sacrifice is not an unclean sacrifice to God. You give God a living, clean, holy sacrifice to him. So why are we conservative? Just so you get the tone of the Bible, holiness, God is big about this. He says we are supposed to be a separated, peculiar people, zealous of good works, and we are supposed to be different. In the words we use, the dress we have, the music we listen to, the things we watch, the way we live, the activities we are involved in, and what we bring into our home, in all of our lives, holiness, holiness. Holiness, in what we view on the internet, in the jokes we tell. Holiness, holiness, holiness. Why? He says, because I'm clean and I want to hug you, but be holy, for I'm holy and you're not clean. And the Bible says, when you come out from among them and be separate and don't touch an unclean thing, I'll be to you a father. We'll snuggle up real close. So we are conservative simply because God is very holy. And we always want to be careful from worldliness and stay clean and stay righteous and stay pure and try to live on this side way over here as a church that promotes holiness in our actions, holiness in our activities, holiness in our music, holiness in our preaching, holiness in our looks, holiness in everything we do. Why are we conservative? Because God is a holy God and he isn't going to like it and he's not going to put up if we are walking around dirty all the time. So let's go back to that football game, and let's just look at our lives, and we'll finish up. I tried to play football and be somewhat clean. And many Christians try to run around at the world and play games with the world, and they try to stay clean, but it doesn't work. I had a terrible time getting clean with dirty things around me when I tried to change and I had the dirty clothes. The dirty things kept on. And by the way, you go home and you got dirty things in your home. You got dirty things in your mind. It's hard to stay clean. And it's hard to get all the way clean. When you got bad in it, you got bad movies around your house. Get the dirty stuff out. Get that dirty stuff out. I had a hard time staying clean around the game. And I just think about the world, just standing too close to the world and the games they're playing and the morality they have and the jokes they tell and the stuff that they emphasize. And it's hard to stay clean when you're like that. And then I had a problem with dirty people getting too close to me. And boy, you hang around in unholy people, don't expect to stay holy. Don't expect to stay holy. Why does God say, be holy for I am holy? Because in heaven is perfect holiness. Let's pray. Lord, I just pray that we would understand that there's a reason we try to stay cautious and careful and pure in things. Lord, it's strange when Christians kind of make fun of you as a goody-two-shoes or as whatever, because they're running with the world and trying to be like the world. You must just shake your head and say, what are you doing? That's the way I want them to be, is holy, separate, clean, not common. And Lord, you destroyed a nation because they put no difference between the clean and the unclean. Help us not to do so. Help us to be very conservative and careful in our morality, in our actions, in our looks, in our thoughts, in our words, in our entertainments, in all we do, Father, in our music, in our friendships. And Lord, just help us to be a holy people. I just pray that we would be careful and clean and realize that you are very serious and demanding. If some man defile the temple of God, him will God destroy, whose temple ye are. Lord, help us to realize these warnings and help us to be careful. Because, Lord, you're a good, wonderful God. And someday we're going to stand before you and help us to come with holiness. And when we see you like you are, and help us to be like you, bringing your holiness and perfecting holiness in our lives. Thank you for the truth of your word and how much it says about this. We just scratch the surface, Lord, but I pray it's what we needed tonight in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed.